Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Here they come on third and five. Wilson, boy, somehow escapes. He's going to run for it. Plenty of green grass. Wilson stays in bounds. He's still going. And he's in. Touchdown. Zach Wilson pulling a magic trick.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Two minutes. Barry. That was Sauce Gardner. Here he goes. Goodbye and hello, Enzo.
Van Dyke swarmed, swallowed, and sacked. Guess who? You only got one guess. Jermaine Johnson.
Here's Breece Hall looking for history. Hall with his 24th straight game with a rushing touchdown into the NCAA record books.
Listen. Thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to break down day number 15 of New York Jets training camp with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, what's up, brother?
Not too much. Getting off a rare day of watching the Jets offense mostly win the training camp practice. I've been covering this team for a while, and that's a rare thing.
Joe Flacco had a really nice day. That's a big part of the reason why the Jets offense won the day at training camp. And we're going to get back to that. But first, I want to talk about the quarterback that Joe Flacco has replaced as QB1 temporarily. And that is Zach Wilson. ESPN's Rich Simini reporting that Zach Wilson's arthroscopic knee surgery was deemed a success. There were no surprises from the original diagnosis. The Jets will not put Wilson on the field until he's 100%, but the Jets consider this good news. So if there were no surprises from the original diagnosis, that means 2 to 4 weeks, which means it is very possible Zach Wilson could be back week number one. As Rich Simini said, the Jets are going to be cautious with this, and they are going to make sure that he is 100% before he sees the field. So if they have to sit him out for a game or two, they will. But if he's ready to go week one, then he'll play. Either way, this is excellent news for the Jets. Obviously, we know that when the injury happened, everybody thought the worst. We thought it could be some sort of season-ending knee injury. Instead, it looks like Wilson should be on the field, if not week one, then within the first few weeks of the season.
We both hate the way that people on Twitter sit there and love to rush to diagnose things immediately. But I think every single person that hears my voice had the same exact initial thought, which was just, oh, man, that's bad. Like that was ACL. We've seen it enough. The thing is, it's weird because we see that exact type of play, the non-contact, sharp cut injury, and we've seen probably equally spread across the board where like it's an ACL tear, it's something, you know, relatively minor, torn meniscus, or that guy actually just hops up and hobbles around for a couple minutes and is completely 100% fine. It's probably evenly spread across that, but every time you see that of a player that, you know, is important, your brain just immediately says, nope, that's an ACL. And then of course you've got your scarred Jets fan, so you're immediately thinking that. So obviously this is all great news. Even when they first said the initial time, I was like, yeah, let's wait a little bit. But obviously clean surgery, if everything continues to go well, the main thing here is obviously it's a balancing act because you do want Zach Wilson to get as many reps and play as many games as you can this season so you can evaluate him and everybody else. But do not rush this kid back. Do not do anything. And they say 100% and great, awesome. But we know coach speak that stick to that. Please stick to that for everybody's sake, for their sake, for his sake, for the team's sake, for the fans' sake, and for my sake so we can accurately evaluate him. Because bring him back early, watch something happen, and then it gets super messy. But obviously, that's the best news possible. Flacco, you know, Flacco looked fine today. The offense as a whole was really good. Players or receivers were getting open. Mike White struggled a little bit, but Flacco, go ahead, throw him out there for the Ravens game if you need him for the Browns game, but do not rush Zach Wilson. Wait till he's better. And then also, maybe he is 100%, but if Dwayne Brown and Fant aren't up to speed and aren't out there on the outside, maybe I hold back a little bit too. I'm only kidding with that part because you have to throw him out there, but I'd sure feel a lot better about him being out there if I know that those two are there and 100% to start the season.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Chris, you mentioned Dwayne Brown, so let's talk about him a little bit. We'll get back to what he said after practice later because he did speak with some of the others in the press room. But the numbers came out on his contract today. He was in conditioning drills, so he hasn't been practicing yet, but he's ramping up. This is a two-year deal for $22 million. We knew that. But what we didn't know is what the dead cap hits were going to be over the next 2 years, meaning could the Jets get out of this after 1 year? And really, they can, but it would be a lot more painful than people would have expected. This year, if the Jets were to cut him at any point, Dwayne Brown would count against the cap $9 million. After this year, it would be $6.3 million. So the Jets could theoretically cut him, but you don't want $6.3 million of dead cap money. So this really is, for all intents and purposes, a legitimate two-year contract.
It's more than a legitimate two-year contract, really, because the payment's going to get spread out. Now, they do the avoidable years thing, but when you do that, it works out to they're paying him, you know, a healthy chunk of the cap this year and next year, for sure. Like, there's no way around that. So it's a two-year contract. And listen, they were desperate. They were obviously desperate. That was, you know, part of the thing. There's a difference. Obviously, we don't know exactly what it is. I'm not sure how much of a gap there was, but I guarantee you that there was a relatively large distance between the asking price and or whatever before the Becton injury and right after it. So they were desperate. And also you look at it that, you know, they're thinking, okay, Dwayne Brown's going to be all right and good for us. So worst case scenario, they bring him back and, you know, as a depth piece next year, an expensive depth piece, whatever, but still with the how important and vital it is that they protect Zach Wilson, they had to pay the premium.
So basically what happens here is Dwayne Brown becomes the insurance policy next year against year four Mekhi Becton, assuming Becton makes it back. And then, of course, we don't know what's going to happen with George Fant, so he's an insurance policy against Fant leaving as well. So really, it made sense to have him here for 2 years. It's not that big of a deal that it winds up being a legitimate two-year contract. I'm sure Joe Douglas is going to go out in the offseason and make some moves at tackle one way or the other, but it's good to know that they've got a guy in Dwayne Brown who should become comfortable in the system pretty quickly and be a good holdover for 2023. Let's get to practice now, Chris, because you hinted about what Joe Flacco did today. Really solid day for him. 14 of 17, four touchdown passes. At one point, he completed 10 in a row, including a really nice throw on a 3rd and 5 with pressure in his face. There were touchdown grabs from a whole bunch of people, two of them from Corey Davis, who is quietly having a really nice camp. We'll get back to some of the other offensive players in a second, but first, talk a little bit about Flacco and Davis, because these are two guys that I think Jets fans sort of had in the back of their mind heading into training camp. Flacco, you figured, was only going to play if something happened to Zach Wilson. And Corey Davis was an afterthought because of the fact that Elijah Moore was so good last year. They spent the number 10 overall pick on Garrett Wilson. and they spent money to bring Braxton Berrios back. There's also, of course, Denzel Mims lurking in the background, and we'll get back to him in a bit. People were fascinated by him just because it's the whole idea of he's got one last chance. Is he going to be able to stick? So Corey Davis wasn't really talked about, but this connection between Flacco and Davis, you hope, carries over into the beginning of the regular season if Flacco ends up being the starter for the first few games.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's one of those things like I get it, everything you just said, plus he had those couple of drops and fumbles, that untimely drops and fumbles last year that really frustrated people. So, and it's a little bit of like, okay, done with the old toy, bring us the new toy type of situation where fans are just kind of discounting Corey Davis. But Corey Davis is the number one receiver on this team right now. Like he's the number one. Like, you know, Elijah Moore, they're going to do a lot of different things with, and you hope that he stays healthy and develops, builds on a little bit that he was able to show last year. And that, you know, of course, that even with his playing, there was limitations because of the quarterback play around him. But you need to build on that. Garrett Wilson is a rookie coming in here. Corey Davis is still the number one receiver. They're going to give him that, like those reps, those snaps. He is going to be lined up as the number one receiver in that type of mold until somebody else comes along. And the other part of why I get it, though, is Corey Davis isn't, you know, he's not making all these flashy plays, but this is exactly why he's going to be the number one receiver for this team. Even I think like Elijah Moore is a more dangerous receiver on a play-by-play basis, of course, and you hope that Garrett Wilson develops into that as well down the line. But Corey Davis is just kind of a steady Eddie out there. Like, and now I know that flies in the face of the drops and the fumbles, but I think that was just kind of fluky. And I think he's not going to be somebody who's just going to completely dominate week in and week out. And he's not somebody who's going to be making electrifying play after electrifying play, but he's somebody who's going to pick you up that first down when you need it. He's somebody that's going to get you 12 yards. He's somebody that can run those slants and those post routes and use his wide frame. He can, make those high catches. So I get it. Shiny new toys. You want to focus more on Elijah Moore. You wish that you're, number one receiver and had a little more than Corey Davis, but Corey Davis is going to be the steady guy. And last year in training camp, we talked about Elijah Moore with the pop plays, the sizzle and everything, but I kept saying but Corey Davis is making like 15 catches a game. So it's not just Flacco or Zach Wilson, whoever the quarterback is in there. If Corey Davis is on the field, he's a safety valve for that quarterback. He uses that frame to get open. He knows where to find the spot on the field to get it. The idea that fans are just kind of writing him off, I get how it gets there just because I know the psyche of fans, but that seems ridiculous. And I think that Corey Davis is going to pleasantly surprise people this year with, again, nothing crazy, but you're going to be like, all right, at the end of the day, he's putting up really solid numbers, 8 out of every 10 weeks.
I mentioned 2 touchdowns to Corey Davis from Joe Flacco, but I also said Flacco had 4 touchdown passes. The other 2 were to Tyler Conklin and Breece Hall. Conklin continues to have a very solid training camp, and so does Breece Hall. Second day in a row with a touchdown grab for Breece Hall. Mike White throwing some nice passes to Lawrence Cager, who, of course, looked very good in the preseason game on Friday. And if you want to talk about somebody who looked good in the preseason game on Friday, you talk about number 15, former Grey Cup champion of the CFL, Chris Strebler. He had a pass to Denzel Mims that Mims turned into a highlight reel grab that you can now see on the Jets official Twitter account. It was a fantastic grab as Denzel Mims continues to turn heads in training camp. So, Chris, we talked about Flacco in the first team, but we saw some cool plays from Lawrence Cager and Denzel Mims as well.
Yeah, and then you mentioned the Breece Hall touchdown. He also had a drop from Mike White in the drills, And he really beat himself up over that. Like, he dropped to a knee and you just like kind of like, he was disgusted with himself. You could see it, like, hurt him to have that drop. It was kind of, I'm like, it's training camp practice, relax, you'll be fine. But yeah, the Denzel Mims, your boy number 15, with the pass, but Denzel Mims did a great job to recognize it, to kind of slow down his route, identify the pass, and then stick his arm out to go just high point it and snatch it. That's the type of athleticism that he brings. And, you know, I mentioned Corey Davis was his wide, big frame and body and ability to box out, but he's not as dynamic to go up and get it. He can obviously go up and get it because he's tall and the big frame, but it's a different, it's not as sudden as Denzel Mims can do. And he's the only one on that roster currently that has that type of ability at that height. Obviously, Elijah Moore can obviously do that, but he's much smaller. So that play, go watch it. That's the exact reason why, that's the athleticism Joe Douglas fell in love with when he drafted him. That's the exact reason why both me and you were sitting there thinking, yeah, this kid's going to be good. And that's the reason why I still believe in him. We'll see if it happens here or not, but I still believe in the talent with them. It was, like I said, to start this off, it was interesting, not used to having an offense win the day, but it was definitely good to see. There was also an Elijah Moore pass. Flacco hit Elijah Moore just like a little 12-yard out, but he beat Sauce Gardner, so that was interesting to see. Haven't gotten too much of you. And then I did notice Sauce Gardner. I've talked about this before in the past where, sometimes you'll see the backup quarterback, especially an undrafted rookie, will sit there. They're not getting the reps, so they just stand like 10, 15 yards behind everybody else, and they take like shadow reps. They go through the rep as if they were doing it, even though they're the only one out there. Sauce was actually doing that in the back of the end zone on a couple plays. And so he had to be told to stop doing that because he was drifting too far. But I was like, I've never seen a non-quarterback do this like that. So that was impressive to see.
Defensively, the stars were Jermaine Johnson, who had a sack, and Carl Lawson, who absolutely dominated yet again. Max Mitchell getting schooled by the veteran. Last year, Chris, we talked all about how Carl Lawson was dominating day after day. This year, he started off a little bit slow, but he's now hit his groove, and he's showing day in, day out once again why he's a level above everybody else out there.
Yeah, it's definitely, Carl Lawson showed up today. Like, that, he's starting to get more and more into a rhythm there. You can see he had to shake off a little bit of rust, a little bit of missing out on football, no football action. You can train. We talk about it all you want. You can train as much as you want. Nothing's going to prepare you for football except for football. And then even, training camp, you go through that. You need to go through a little bit more to build up more and more and more, just like anything else. And you're starting to see that come to fruition a little bit. Every day a little bit more, and I think if he stays healthy, you're gonna see everything that we saw last training camp, and you're gonna really see the effects of there. One thing, Nasir Levine made a really nice play too at one point, breaking it up, and then he did this really hilarious chicken wing dance thing that was really fun to see. That was the celebration of the day for me, at least. That definitely demanded my attention. But yeah, Jermaine Johnson had a nice day. It is, again, a caveat of the offensive line in flux, but it does seem there's like a rotating cast of characters of just kind of dominating on the defensive line. But it wasn't a total domination today, so maybe there was something there. The offense was able to actually get the ball moving with just a couple of defensive players doing really good. But Carl Lawson is the key. That's the one that you want to see and you want to really start seeing round up into shape.
No Quinn and Williams today. Robert Salas said after practice they're hoping to have him back by the end of the week. No Pinero, no Reed, no Baudin, no Eccles. Vinnie Curry was back doing team drills. And as we said before, Dwayne Brown still in conditioning. After practice, we heard from a couple of people, including Jets special teams coach Brant Boyer. Boyer said that he believes Justin Hardy is one of the top five special teamers in the NFL, said he's a Pro Bowler for a reason. Jeff Ulbrich said he sees glimpses of the old Carl Lawson the last two or three days of practice. Also said he had a long talk with Quincy Williams after the late hit on Jalen Hurts. Said Williams must harness his superpowers, speed and aggressiveness, and find poise in moments like one that wound up in the late hit on Jalen Hurts on Friday, because that kind of thing cannot happen again. Ulbrich also said that Jermaine Johnson is, quote, starting to get it. He's learning about how to be a pro, and he's starting to become more consistent. A lot of things are promising about what he's done so far, Ulbrich said. Robert Saleh said the Jets haven't even begun to scratch the surface of adversity yet. He also talked about Sauce Gardner, said he doesn't stop talking when he's on the field, like you were talking about, Chris. Compared Gardner to Jalen Ramsey, at least from a constant talking standpoint. Dwayne Brown spoke as well. He said there's not many people that play at his age, almost 37 years old, so criticisms are well warranted, but he's not there to really talk about that. He just wants to get on the field and prove it. That's what he plans to do. Also said that he thinks the Jets have a lot of talent and potential and likes the culture Robert Saleh is building. So, Chris, any thoughts on what was said by Dwayne Brown, Robert Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich, Brant Boyer, and what's going on with the injuries?
I'll say this with Dwayne Brown. Number one, it's happening a lot more these days. It's not as rare as it used to be. Offensive line, especially tackled players, are playing later and later. Andrew Whitworth comes to mind. There are more exceptions to that rule nowadays. With Brant Boyer, top five, Justin Hardy, I'll take your word for it, Mr. Boyer. I am not going to sit here and do the math on that. I have no interest in sitting there breaking down film of every gunner in the league and doing that ranking. No, sir. You can have that. I trust you. You're good at your job. I'll take your word on that. As far as the Jermaine Johnson coming along, we'll see that. That sounds a lot, as much as it's not, I'm saying I have seen some improvements, but it sounds a lot of coach speak, encouragement there. And that's not even a negative part of it as much as it's just a reality, because of the simple fact that this group is so deep right now. Like, even if they are impressed with him, it's, he's still going to be down in the rotation a little bit. So he's coming along. That's good. Obviously, I know first round pick, you got big expectations for him, but it's going to be more of a long-term thing, and you're still thinking that it's going to be a limited role this year for him, just with all the other guys that they got out there.
Chris Nimbley, the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com, and above all that, a very big deal. Thanks so much for coming on and breaking down day number 15 of New York Jets training camp with me. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out everything Chris is doing, read his very big deal work over at JetsInsider.com. Follow him on Twitter at CNimbley and at JetsInsider. Check out everything we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Luke Grant, has got some fantastic All-22 breakdowns on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/playlikeajet. He's got a breakdown for every single member of the New York Jets 2022 draft class, plus the two newest high-profile Jets, Dwayne Brown, who we talked about today, and Quan Alexander. So watch our videos and subscribe if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies, it's all there. teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.